Good song. Life is that simple, is it not? Just thinking about the verse of scripture that Jesus encapsulated his life as, "Lo, I have come to do thy will." And that was the Lord's heart. And we sang at the beginning of the song, "God makes no mistakes." And in that chorus it says, "Though my heart would break." A lot of hearts are breaking. Well, God allows a lot of things into our lives that are very difficult and very challenging. And yet, if we can believe God and trust Him, and cry out, God doesn't make mistakes. And we just submit ourselves to His plan and His will. We will never be ashamed for trusting Him. So, turn our Bibles to James. James chapter 3. This thing is really swimming on me here today. I feel like this is one of those old games where you try to keep the ball from falling in the hole. You know, it's really, I think this thing must have, it's got an adjustment down here somewhere and it probably got moved up to where it's not quite as stable. So anyway, because I'm going to touch it, I'm going to be doing this and I'm like, now that I got it out of the way, you all know what's going on. I don't think about it anymore. James chapter 3, and I do believe that this section from verses 13 through 18 are a summary, is just kind of developing the heart of this epistle, and I'll kind of go into that, but part of it is he talks about who is a wise man, and at the very beginning, he says, if any man lacks wisdom. So when you're in the trial, what we really need to be able to go along this path towards the perfection that God wants in our lives, we need this characteristic of wisdom. And we've seen here that it is something that is from above, in verse 17. This is a gift from God, and it's a gift to those who ask for it. And I think of it in terms of my thought process is in line of with Proverbs chapter 2, where he says, you know, extend your ear for knowledge, and you cry out for wisdom, and you search the scriptures, and there's about four different verses there. And then he says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So there's an element that God wants us to pursue Him and pursue the very gift that He can give to us and how to respond appropriately and rightly in our lives. And so this is nothing more than when he says the wisdom that's from above is an element of, it should remind us to have that pursuit of God. Then we looked at, there's an aspect of purity, that if we want to have any fellowship with the Lord, then we need to have this purity in our lives. So, and we're in James chapter 3, verse 17, James 3, 17. And so then we're looking at the disposition that God wants us to have. If we are walking with the Lord, He causes us to have three characteristics. And we saw how this element of peace is one of the main ideas, because it's right here in verse 17, the first one, after pure, then peaceable, and it ends with the word peace in verse 18. So this kind of sums up, and this is the exact opposite of the confusion, of the envy and the strife. And so how does this happen? Well, the first aspect here is that we're gentle. And we looked at that last time. That's kind of where we left off, where the opposite of gentleness in RU that we looked at is harshness. That's right. And sometimes we say, well, what's gentle? You know, but we know what harshness is, right? We can tell when our tone and what we're how we're dealing with people. And a lot of times people respond that way. People kind of, when you're throwing rocks, they're going, and they're flinching, and they're adjusting to our attitude, and I just know human nature. I know myself. My inclination is to start blaming the people. Why are you ducking? What's your problem? You know, it's my attitude. And so if we're going to have peace, we've got to have gentleness. And he says here also the aspect going on to this is easy to be entreated. Someone put it this way as sweet reasonableness. That if you're walking with the Lord, someone can come up to you and entreat you. And you'll say, well, what's the opposite of being easily entreated? I don't have anything. I don't have anything in front of me. You just tell me what comes to your mind. What's the opposite of that? Discerning. Okay, so yeah, there's an element of yeah. So you're not. That's a good aspect. That would be kind of like a positive virtue. But I'm looking for something. If this is positive, we want to see something. And I think I know where you're going with that. That's not a bad answer at all. Maybe bitter. Okay, so you've got an element of. So if someone's easy to be entreated, then you've got someone over here. They're hard to be entreated. You try to come up to you and say, you know, you may come along real carefully and say, well, brother, you know, you really shouldn't have backed into my vehicle. Like, oh, what's your problem? What are you doing? You know, and you can't talk to them. You can't have a conversation with them because they just keep reacting. How many of us are like that at times? At times, right? We're like, oh yeah, you know. There's an element we get in that place where I'm right. Nothing else you can say is going to move me. You don't talk to me. You know, I mean, there's an element that sometimes that you might, I'm sure you've all been around someone like that where you realize don't talk to them right now, because whatever you try to talk to them about, it's not going anywhere. And that's the opposite of what we're talking about here. This is the aspect of you can reason with someone and they will be, oh, let me think about that. Oh, I had not seen it from that perspective. And they can be entreated. You can come to them. They're approachable, might be a word that can be put here. And so here is the disposition. They create peace amongst people. They are not harsh, but they are gentle. And you can have a reasonable conversation with them when you disagree about something, because they're not hardened in their own will. They are only seeking the will of the Lord. So this is, when you see that, you know that person's been with Jesus. You know that God's touching their life and changing them. Here we come to this element here, and he says, let me tell you about their actions. They are full of mercy and good fruits. And then there's kind of this element of a constancy in their life seen in the last two, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's something that you can, they're genuine. There, and this aspect of partiality has the idea of unwavering. And so we'll get to that in just a moment. But there's kind of a connection between those two ideas that you can count on this person. There's something genuine about them. So what I find very fascinating is that when you look at the book of James, and this kind of comes from just thinking about the totality of the book, but when you go back and look at chapter 2, you have two things that are being talked about. One is, on one side, is they are treating the poor as if they're contemptible. It doesn't matter about them. And they treat the rich, oh, you're really important. And so they have partiality. Then on the other side, the second half of it is, they've got all the words and all the externals, but there's no genuineness, there's hypocrisy. So this is part of what I think the Lord helped me to connect on this and saying, okay, wisdom occurs at the beginning of this whole section, but he is identifying now, talking about partiality, that's chapter 2, and without hypocrisy, that's chapter 2. And what's interesting in this, let's look at full of mercy and good fruits. Turn over to chapter 3, verse 8. And he says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So here's a contrast. In the tongue, you've got someone that the tongue is full of this poison versus someone who has a wisdom from above. They're full of mercy. So, and one is they've got good fruits. The other one is evil. So the contrast between this verse and verse 17 and verse 18. So there's an aspect of verbally, it's contrasting the tongue in chapter 3. It's saying you don't have the liabilities of chapter 2, the first or the second part. And I believe you can connect full of mercy to the first part of chapter 2 and good fruits to the second part of chapter 2. And it's not it's like conceptually that makes sense, but if you look back at chapter 2, what is the summary of that discussion where people are condemnation of partiality? He says, he shall, verse 13, he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So what they lacked when they're showing partiality is they're lacking mercy upon someone. And that is the same true with someone who is a hypocrite. They say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needful to their body. You're not actually having mercy. Mercy is seeing somebody in their need, having compassion, and doing something about it. He says, you're going to be full of deeds, of compassion, of mercy towards others. You are going to be full of good fruits. And so there's this element of saying, when you've got wisdom, I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God. That wisdom is not just some intellectual thing in my mind, so I'm making a choice. It's an impact that impacts my disposition, to my actions, to the constancy of my life. And people will be able to see that God is changing you and making you more like your Son. So when we think about these verses, this is Jesus Christ. The Bible says when he walked upon the earth, a smoking flax he did not put out. And one of those reeds that was already bent over in the water, when he went by, he didn't even break it. He was so gentle. He was a man of peace. He was easy to be entreated. You see many of these stories where someone will come and say, if you will, you can do this. They could entreat him. They could beseech him. And I don't know of any story, except for one, that he doesn't have an immediate positive response. And even that one, it was a test, and he fulfills the lady's request. And we find that there was no partiality with him. He was the same with the rich as with the poor. He didn't care because he had a genuine, it wasn't about, can you benefit me in my life? It was about, how can I benefit you in your life? Full of good fruits, doing good, and without hypocrisy. Jesus Christ is the real deal. And so the fruit of this kind of righteousness will be sown in peace of them that make peace. So we're going to examine that next week and try to say, okay, and what's fascinating is when you look at the beginning of chapter 4, you know what the context is? Wars and fightings among you. Uh-oh. So he's really addressing something that can happen. And what's fascinating to me is James was written to believers who were going through trials. You know, most of the time, I have a very good attitude when life is going good. But when life's starting to stink it up a little bit, that's when I'm snippy. And that's when you better watch out. he's giving us the truth here that's going to meet us even in the difficult times. So, all right, we'll go ahead and give out some awards here this evening. All right.